60, another great prophecy about the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Isaiah probably prophesies about the kingdom more than any other Old Testament book. But it's also filled with many rebukes, as we've seen. And God continues to rebuke and warn amidst promises about the future. And that's how it is with us. We know that heaven's our home, that that's our future, and yet we still make mistakes, and sometimes God has to rebuke us. But the end never changes. And that's the same for Israel. The end never changes. The kingdom is coming, and that is a promise God will keep. So we're going to look at 22 verses tonight. Is that the whole chapter? Yeah, the whole chapter. And then we'll pray and get started. So arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All these, they from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me in the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. And the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver. And for wood brass, and for stones iron, I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting or destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. The house of my glory. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening to teach us and build us and grow us and bless us. And Lord, we just want to please you. And so we open our hearts now to hear from you and your word. And we give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you probably noticed that word glory or glorious showing up over and over and over again in the chapter. And the reason is because the time of Israel's glory is yet to come in the future. God is speaking to Israel here in this passage. He's encouraging them that in the future, one day, they again will be a glorious nation, and God's glory will rule over them. we can walk through together. But notice in verse 1, the Bible says, "Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." This is kind of a double prophecy. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth, He came as the light of the world. And as the Bible says in Luke 2, He came as a light to lighten the Gentiles. And if they would have accepted Jesus Christ as their Messiah and accepted His light, He offered them the kingdom initially. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist said the same thing. But they rejected Christ, as we know. And so this is therefore a secondary prophecy that light will again come to Israel when they get their kingdom. And he mentions in verse 2, "The darkness shall cover the earth, the gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." Remember, he's speaking to Israel. When you think about Israel today, the most hated nation on earth, not that big. This wouldn't be a description of the Israel of today or of the Israel of the past 1,000 years even. But what do we see? "The glory shall be seen upon thee." It will come that the glory of God will be upon Israel. Notice it says, verse 3, "The Gentiles shall come to thy light, the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Go back to chapter 2, if you would, and we'll see this fulfilled in a prophecy about the kingdom itself. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible says, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." Now remember, this is not talking about literal mountains, it's talking about kingdoms. And it says, "And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord." So this again is a prophecy of their coming kingdom, that the Gentiles will come to thy light. Well, as far as I know, everybody in this room is a Gentile. And one day we get to be at this kingdom, but we're coming to Israel's light. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. The Bible is Jewish. The kingdom is Jewish. And one day we get to participate in this great kingdom, which is a Jewish kingdom filled with the light of God. So did you notice in verse 6, it said at the end of the verse, "They shall show forth the praises of the Lord." Who's this? All these Gentile nations are going to come in and show the praises of the Lord. All caps, L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah. That's the Hebrew word for God. "They shall show forth the praises of Jehovah in the kingdom." This is also mentioned in Zephaniah, if you turn there, please, chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3, not Zechariah, but Zephaniah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. There it is. Chapter 3 and verse 20. Notice it says, "At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord." Notice it says there, "I will make you a name and a praise among all people." The exact opposite is true today. The world pretty much hates Jews. But there will come a day when they will be a praise among all people of the earth. They will be the exalted nation. And we will go to Jerusalem, worship Jesus Christ. He'll be sitting on the throne of David, a Jewish throne. And they will be the praise. The Jews will be the praise of all people. So we saw God mention His glory in verse 1. "The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." In verse 2, "His glory shall be seen upon thee." Notice in verse 7, "All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory." This chapter is about the glory of the Lord. that will be manifested in its amazing beauty during the kingdom for 1,000 years on earth. And God is going to glorify the house of His glory. Now, Israel got a glimpse of this back when the temple was dedicated and God came down and filled it with His glory. But they haven't seen it since. God withdrew that glory, but it will return. If you look at Isaiah 56, just back a couple of chapters, verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The whole world will come to God's house of glory, God's temple in Jerusalem. We can't even imagine how amazing that's going to be. But it's all about the glory of God. He mentions it again, verse 9 at the end of the verse, to the Holy One of Israel, because He hath glorified thee. Verse 12, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Imagine what that will be like. Talk about a turnaround. The world hates Israel, and there's going to come a time for the nations that are not willing to serve Israel, God will punish them. Fascinating. And yet, we still have so much anti-Semitism in the world. People just don't understand that they are God's people, and they are still God's people, and that the day will come when people will be rebuked for not serving Israel, God's people. And the Bible says, look at the end of verse 13, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. This is all about the glory of the Lord manifested in the kingdom of God's people, Israel. Verse 14, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending upon thee, unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. It's no wonder Israel doesn't give up expecting something else, because they have the Word of God with all of these amazing promises that this city that isn't even owned by Israel right now, it's owned by some other group, will one day be called the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. We can't even imagine. Go to Revelation chapter 3, where the Bible talks about this event that's coming, where Jerusalem will again be the seat of all power of the entire earth and will be called the Zion of who but the Holy One of Israel. That is Jehovah God. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So there's going to be the Jerusalem, and there's going to be the New Jerusalem. Remember, we studied that when we went through Revelation. There's going to be the city of Jerusalem here on earth, the seat of power, but there's also then going to come down from God this new Jerusalem, this amazing city that we get to be a part of as Christians. We'll go back and forth between the two. This city of 1,500 kilometers cubed that can hold thousands and thousands of mansions. So Israel will be that. Notice it says, verse 15, I will make thee an eternal excellency. This is what they've been waiting for. For centuries and centuries and centuries. They've been waiting for these promises to be fulfilled. When Jesus was on earth, they didn't ask, before he ascended back to heaven in Acts chapter 1, they didn't ask him about salvation. They asked him about the kingdom. They said, when will be the time of thy kingdom? That's what they've been waiting for. That's what they've been looking for, is a kingdom. And they wanted Jesus to be the king. Remember when he came in Jerusalem and they put him on the colt and they spread the branches on the road and they said, what? Hosanna. Glory to the king in the highest. They wanted a king. They wanted a kingdom. But Jesus came as a babe in a manger to die on the cross for our sins. And he came saying, repent, and they weren't willing to repent and accept him as the Messiah. Verse 16, thou shalt suck the milk of the Gentiles, shall suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Verse 18, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting or destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Imagine that. The walls of Jerusalem will be called salvation. The gates of Jerusalem will be called praise. And then the Bible says, the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light. Israel has so much to look forward to as a nation. What's exciting is we get to look forward to the same things. Because we've been grafted in. And we get to be there. And be part of this Jewish kingdom. The Bible says God will be that everlasting light. Verse 20. Verse 21. The people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be, there it is again, glorified. It's all about God's glory. If you would look at Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. There it is. I do that for my benefit, not yours. Habakkuk 2 verse 14. Look what the Bible says about this kingdom and the glory of God. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of what? The glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The Bible says the whole earth shall know about the glory of the Lord. The whole earth. That's definitely not true today. You've got a billion Muslims. You've got a billion with the Eastern religions, and we could go on and on. But the day will come when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And you know, God even told Israel about this in Hebrews. Turn over there if you would. Hebrews chapter 8. About His glorious kingdom and how it's all about His glory and His people Israel. Notice He says here in Hebrews 8 verse 10. This is the covenant that I will make with, does it say the church there? No. With the house of Israel. Now, this is the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. God is reminding us that God made a covenant with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. He here is repeating, if you will, the fourth and final unconditional covenant made to Israel in Jeremiah chapter 30, what we call the new covenant, where God promised that Jeremiah 31, that He would give Israel a new heart, essentially, as a nation, and they would accept Him as Jesus as their Messiah. When He returns the second time, they will know who He is. They will say, what are these prints of the nails in thy hand? And so I was wounded in the house of my friends. You did this to me, is what He's going to say. And they're going to realize who He is. That they missed it the first time, but they won't miss it the second time. And the Bible says here that God and His glory will fill the whole earth. That's beautiful. God is not finished with Israel. So, here we find ourselves in this dispensation called the church. The dispensation of the grace of God, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning. What can we take from something like this? Well, the overpowering need for the world to know about the glory of God never changes. It's been around since creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare what? The glory of God. That is why we're here. In the kingdom, it's all about God's glory through Israel. The church age, it's about God's glory through us. We're here to bring God glory. Let's look at a couple of scriptures and see if this is true. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. So we can see if New Testament teaches that even the church, which is a different group of people, it's not Israel, it is the bride of Christ, is also meant to bring God glory. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are here, those of us that have been bought with the most amazing price ever paid, the price of the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary, we're here to glorify God. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 now, verse 31. And we could do this all night. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? Glory of God. You see, in the kingdom age, Israel and Israel's temple in Jerusalem, and of course Israel's servants, us, will be spreading the glory of God throughout the whole earth. You know what we're supposed to be doing in the church age? Spreading the glory of God throughout the whole earth through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, we're to be doing it to the glory of God, because He's worthy of all glory. Psalm 29:2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Is God worthy of glory? Absolutely. Is He worthy for us to give Him glory? Those of us that have been bought by His blood and given eternal life and given a mansion in heaven and given His presence in the Holy Spirit, is He worthy of us putting forth the effort to bring Him glory? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you had to narrow down, this isn't easy to do. I mean, there's a lot of things God's commanded us to do, right? Witness, read His Word, live for Jesus, serve the Lord, watch for His return. We could go on and on. If you tried to narrow all that down into one thing, this would be the one thing. Bring Him glory, because He's worthy of it. He said His creation does. When we look at His creation, what does it do? It declares the glory of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, declaring the glory of God through our life and through our witness. So, well, I thought the main thing was the witness. When we witness, we're declaring the glory of God. When we live for Christ, we're declaring the glory of God. His creation declares His glory. In the kingdom, Israel will declare His glory. If you had to narrow it down to one thing, that's why we're here. Look at Romans 11, please, verse 36. We are here to bring glory to God. And the thing is, He's worthy of it. And He's especially worthy of it because of what He's done for us. And yet, how many Christians don't? They stay quiet. Every day we need to be declaring the glory of God, however we can. Notice Romans 11:36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Of Him, through Him, and to Him. Think about those three phrases. Of Him, it all comes of Him. Through Him, everything that we do through His power and strength. And then back to Him. That's why we're here. To give it all back to Him. By giving Him glory. Through our life, through our praises, through our worship, and of course through our witness. So there's a sense in which the church is an early illustration of the coming kingdom. And some of the parables bear this out. That this is kind of like a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of heaven, which is yet to come, but the kingdom of God. We become part of that kingdom of God through being born again. Right? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, when Jesus and John the Baptist started preaching, they said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those are two different kingdoms. Now, sometimes they're on the earth at the same time, and sometimes they're not. But they are spelled different, and they are two different kingdoms. The kingdom of God to make it easy, is the spiritual kingdom that we become part of its salvation. So either way to remember that is God is a spirit, so this kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Heaven is a literal physical place, and the kingdom of heaven is a literal physical kingdom. So when Jesus started preaching in John the Baptist, what did they say to the Jews? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the millennial kingdom that God, I've been promising you for centuries, is at hand. It's available, Jews. Just one word, repent. And that was the one word that nailed Jesus to the cross. Because Israel wanted a Messiah, and they wanted a king, but they didn't believe they had to repent. Because they believed they could get to heaven because of their lineage and because of the law. So Jesus initially said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here it is. I'm the king. I'm offering you the kingdom of heaven that you've been promised. Israel said, no thanks. We don't want to repent. They nailed him to a cross. Jesus withdrew. Look at Matthew 23. Jesus withdrew the offer of the kingdom. And what did that usher in? But a mystery dispensation called the age of the grace of God. We're here to bring God glory. Because we are a part of the kingdom of God when we are born again in Jesus Christ. Notice here in Matthew 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's one of the saddest passages. God, Jesus is speaking to who? Jerusalem, Israel. And this is where he says, verse 39, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That hasn't happened yet, but it will. In the meantime, we're here to bring him glory. And you know, it talked in this passage about the house of God's glory. That's specifically talking about the temple in Jerusalem during the kingdom. How can I apply that to my life? Right now, we are the house of God's glory. Because we are the temple of God. So think about that. When you think about that glorious temple that have all this gold and silver that God talked about, God's glory will be there in the kingdom age. That's us during this age. Because God indwells us. And the Bible says, ye are the temple of God. Which means we are to be the temple of God's glory. Everything that we do, as we read, therefore should bring honor and glory to him because we are his temple during this age. So think about that. The house of my glory is us. And that's why we often say, you know, how do I treat my temple? Because it's God's temple. And it's here to bring him glory. So one day Israel will, and the whole earth will know about it. In the meantime, we've been tasked with telling the world about it. Because we are that temple, the house of his glory. Let's pray.